I thought my sermon was going to be challenging, but that song was was challenging. That's all right. Love a challenge. Virginia, welcome. I appreciate your presence this morning, always. Always good to get together. But not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, just appreciate your desire to be with us as a congregation to give our worship to God together, as Danny just did. If there is someone here didn't get an outline or the bulletin, please feel free to go back to the foyer and get one. Just come back in. I'll keep going. All right, the challenge of Christ is in this morning. The text is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where Peter said, "For even hereunto were you called, or challenged, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Well, there's the challenge. I heard someone say, life is a challenge already, and now you're asking me to accept the challenge of Christ. Almost like we're adding a burden on a burden. But there's value and benefits and blessings in accepting the challenge of Christ. And that's our lesson. I know for some, the challenge is not to tackle the task, but to see how they can get out of it. But I want you to accept this challenge. My challenge is to take this long outline and do it in 20 minutes. Your challenge is to believe that I can do it. And my brethren have graciously provided me a clock. So I see that. I know you have yours, but they set mine 5 minutes ahead of yours. But we'll get it done. This lesson presents the Christian life as a challenge. You need to understand that Christ is the standard in this challenge. I'm not the standard. Even if you think of me as the standard, you'll find times of disappointment. But I may not always measure up, not only to the standard, but to your expectation. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me." But then he said, "As I follow Christ." That's the standard, and that's the challenge. Let's follow Christ in these areas. And I know if something's challenging, it's going to demand our best effort. So number one, challenge is to live as Christ lived. Several ways we can think of Christ lived. I'm just giving you a brief summary. But number one, he lived for others. In Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save he who is lost. I want to live that way. I want to look out for others. Especially in the area of evangelism and soul seeking, soul salvation. I want to seek and save. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So now the attitude that I need to have is in looking out for others, not only in seeking your salvation, but is there anything I can help you with? What do you need? What's within my capability that I can lend you assistance? If you've fallen, I want to pick you up. If you're discouraged or weak, I want to establish you as Christ did for others. I want to live as Christ lived. He lived to do the Father's will in another area of his living. In John chapter 6, verse 38, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will." Not to do my own. So there's an attitude of life that I need to have that looks out. Again, they said, "What can I do for you? How can I help you? Let me get that." Not to do my own will. That's the challenge. Because so many times we're looking for self. How can I help you? No. How can I help you? What can I do for you? I want to live as he lived. Paul summarized it in this way in Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. That's the challenge. I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive physically. What do you need? Number two, I want to grow as Christ grew. In Luke 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom, mental knowledge, stature, increased physically, favor with God spiritually, and with man socially. All of those areas. You grow something and nurture it. I want this to grow. If you have a plant, I want that plant to grow. The challenge for us is given by Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So just as Jesus grew in all of these areas, I want to grow too. And so when we think about growing in, as a congregation, so we provide our Bible classes, we have our worship assembly, our singings, you know, our work opportunities, our gospel meetings, all of these are presented and provided so that we have opportunities to nurture one. Number three, I want to think as Christ thought. It was in our text this morning that was read to us. We already know God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And then he gives us a visual as the heavens are higher than the earth. Then he repeats it, so my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that's a vast difference. And now the challenge is to think as Christ thought. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a challenge considering that visual that we don't think alike. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm not what I think I am, but what I think, I am. Because out of the heart, it provides the issues of life. I give this illustration. Growing up in Muskegon, Michigan, our kitchen table had a window like that, and it looked out toward the driveway and the grassy area. And kitchen table, oldest brother Randall sat there, and Rod sat there, and there was my mom. And every once in a while, my dad would have an occasion to look out the window, and I don't know why, but he said, Brian, wait a minute, I got two brothers. But he said, Brian, I see that the grass needs mowing. I might raise up just a little bit and look at that grass and say, Dad, I see the grass, but I don't see that it needs mowing. I only say that once. But what Dad was saying, he didn't say, Brian, go mow the grass. He just said, I see that the grass needs mowing. What he wanted me to see was what he saw. Same with our relate with God. God wants us to see things as he sees them. If he sees sin in a certain light, I want to see sin in that same light. I don't want to pass it off or outvote it. I want to see as God sees. I want to think as God thinks. I want to have my thoughts the same as Jesus thought. That's the challenge. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? It's a challenge. I want to see commitment the way God does. I want to see discipleship the way God does, the way he's defined it. I want to see fellowship as God does. That's the challenge. Number four is to obey as Christ obeyed. In Hebrews 5, verse 8, even though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. He learned obedience. That's the challenge. And the challenge in a question form that Jesus gives us in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? Great question. I doubt if anyone here would not call Jesus Lord. But the challenge is, will you do what he says? Well, I say, how many believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Boy, hands go up. We're there. Count me in. I'm on your side. I'm standing over here with you. People know to whom I belong. Yes. But will we do what he says? That's the challenge. No hesitation with our confession, with our words. But will we walk the talk? Will we practice what we preach? To obey as he obeyed. I want to meet the challenge. Number five is to love as Christ loved. Romans 5, verse 8, God commends his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said in John 13, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. He gives his own self as example, as I've loved you. That's a challenge. To love as he loved. Saw a bumper sticker a while back. I haven't seen it for quite a while. Bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. Honk. I didn't honk. I mean, I love Jesus, but that's not the command. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't just give a shout out down from heaven and say, honk, honk. You know, that means I love you. God doesn't want a honk. He wants us to love one another. That's the challenge. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you. That you love, he repeats it, that you love one another. By this, the way we love, shall all men know that you are my disciples. That's the badge of discipleship. That's the way we fly our flags. Is to love one another. Not just honk. You ever been honked at a traffic light or something like that? You didn't move fast enough and somebody honks the horn. I don't like being honked at. I want to be loved. I'd rather be loved than honked at. Number six is to forgive as Christ forgave. It says even in Colossians 3, verse 13, even as, there's the example, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So even as Christ forgave. And I think of the way that Christ forgave. Some people will say to me, Brian, you know, my sins are, and I'll use it three ways. My sins are too many. They're too horrible. And I've committed them for too long. God can't forgive me. And they believe that. I've committed sins for too long of a time. They're too horrible. And they're too many. Can God forgive me? And because God forgave people in that situation, he's asking us to forgive because he's forgiven us. Even as Christ forgave you. So those who come to God, God's way, receive the blessing that he's offering, forgiveness. And so when the people stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and Peter has preached that lesson, devout Jews from every nation, and they gathered together for that day of Pentecost, 50 days after he was resurrected 10 days earlier, and he told them, stay in Jerusalem, they receive power from on high. And I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name beginning at that city. So the disciples in the right place at the right time. They're all gathered there in Acts 2 verse 22 and 23. He's convinced them that they crucified the Holy One, the Just One. And he's reached a point in his sermon where he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God is... Almost, if I can get a picture of that, they throw up their hands. What shall we do? We've murdered the Messiah. We've crucified their Christ. Is there any hope for us? Doesn't get much worse than that. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Yes. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just to convince them, the next verse, and I wish I had Peter's outline, says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Next verse says, those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And in verse 47, it said, Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who threw up their hands, is there anything that we can do? Any hope for us? Yes. Yep. You are numbered among the saved. You gladly received that message and were baptized. I want to forgive as Christ forgave. That's the challenge. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's right. Number seven is to endure. I'll look at your clock too. I know you're enduring this. Endure as Christ endured. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us. All right, here's something we can do. Here's the challenge. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. There's the standard. There's the example. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. How could you do that? And then you have to always wonder, where's the joy in a crucifixion? Who for the joy set before him, the Hebrew writer says. And if you look, in the reason why there was joy in that crucifixion, because he was giving and providing for us something that we could not provide for ourselves. And it was something that we needed. And he was giving that gift sacrificially. And so with those things in place, with that attitude, there was a sense of joy going through a crucifixion. So he gives everything he had. He gave his head to a crown of thorns. He gave his face to be slapped. He gave his cheeks to dirty human spittle. He gave his shoulders to a robe of mockery. He gave his side to a Roman spear. He gave his garments to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. He gave his hands and his feet to be pierced. He gave his mother to the beloved Apostle John. He gave his life for you and for me. He gave everything that he had to accomplish our salvation. He endured the cross, despised the shame for you and for me. Endure. Bible said in Revelation 3, verse 21, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And that's the one theme of the book of Revelation. If we overcome, we can come over. I'm on the last one already. Number nine. Number nine. To finish our work as Christ finished his. One of the last words of Jesus on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says it's finished. Not just his life. He'll be resurrected 3 days. Going to be ascended back to the Father 40 days later. What's finished? Oh, he accomplishes our salvation. He finished his work. He didn't stagger at the persecution along the way. He didn't stop his journey just because he knew when he got to Jerusalem what he would suffer. Oh, he finished. Finished. So Paul even said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. In other words, my life is about gone. So he says, I've fought a good fight. And the next phrase is, I finished the course. I stayed. I remained steadfast. I hung in there. I lived my life of faith. So he said, next phrase, I kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And then he says, but not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. I want to close. For some of you here this morning, the challenge is to become or to begin a new life in Christ. To become a Christian. To obey the gospel message. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of edification. We sing this song to give you time to reflect on your relationship with God. And if it's not right, we pray that you will obey the good news, the gospel message. There's a simple plan or formula that we preach. So number one, these steps, you need to hear the word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? You have to hear. See, Christianity is a taught religion. You don't become a Christian just by right of physical birth. You have to hear. The gospel, the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. You need to hear. Number two, you need to believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said, number three, in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or you perish. I don't want to perish. And number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did concerning the Son of God. It says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. The Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. And then number five, they both went down into the water. The Bible says both Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip baptized him, came up out of the water. And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. When the lost coin was found, let's celebrate. When the lost sheep was brought back, let's celebrate. When the son who was prodigal came home, let's celebrate. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. If you're subject to that invitation, you've been baptized for remission of sins. We're going to sing this invitation song. If you want to respond in a public way while we're gathered here, just come and have a seat beside me. Close of the song, I'll ask you a simple question. What's on your mind? And you will say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or I want brethren to pray with me or for me if need is. Let's stand together. Sing the song that Dennis has selected.